and whether his water appropriation stuff and the permitting this and whatever would damage us being in compliance with the federal.
Okay, let's start over here. See if we can't get this all on tape. Call the Senate Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee to order for March 8th, 2012. Now, we will have a shortened committee hearing today. We need to be out of this room by a quarter till maybe 10 minutes to 3. So first up today, though, is Senator Chamberlain, Senate File 1661. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. It's good to be here. I haven't been here before. You've already got the author's amendment, and that is there.
And Senator Chamberlain, Senator Reinert moves the A2 delete everything amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Now we have the A2 in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll briefly explain the bill, and then I'll let Mr. Reinert and Mr. Rupp get into some of the other issues. What basically happened was, as you're aware, the Constitution requires, as it stipulates, that cities of over 5,000 population can get some street aid, municipal street aid. Well, Circle Pines is one of, I think, four or five cities that dropped below 5,000 in the last decennial census. And because of that, we ran into some budgeting problems. They had some reliance on some of the MSA funds coming from the DOT. They also, in 2008, had, in short, contracted with the DOT certification to receive funds to help pay down some bonds they had issued for these roads. So with that being the problem, they ran into, obviously, some difficulties. So they approached us to see if we could do something about it. So what the bill you have in front of you is a compilation of something Senator Senjum had presented to address the same issue. And I'll go through that real briefly. It the first part talks about, at the bottom, the new language. It describes the cities that are now now can be temporarily can temporarily continue receiving these funds from the DOT. It explains that piece. As we go on, next page, we get into, I've lost my place. Secondly, after you take care of the 5,000 population issue, who qualifies and how long, it's got a two-year time frame from now. So this, but this bill will continue. So 4 years after our decennial census, so this would expire, so this would keep going. This time, they've got a two-year period of time to transition from the MSA funds to getting their own budget squared up. And then after 2014, they wouldn't receive the DOT MSA funds any longer. The next piece of this was because of the problems, and we're a little over 2 years into the new decade, the legislation also addresses the fact that they want to make the cities whole. So for 2013, they'll get an amount to cover the 2012, what they would have received for 2012, plus in 2013, they'll get the formula amount for 2013. And then I believe, if I'm correct on this one, they'll get a formula amount for 2014 as well, and then they stop. And then they'll be transitioned out after 2014. As we talk about, it'll be an off-ramp in transportation window, I guess. They'll have an off-ramp to this statute, and they will be back to their own funding. The last piece of this is the bonds piece on page 3. In 2008, City of Circle Pines entered into, as I mentioned, a certification agreement with DOT. The City of Circle Pines issued their own bonds, and the DOT agreed. They certified that and agreed to help pay back those bonds. Well, if with this, if we don't have this statute, then they lose the funding for those bonds. I don't recall how long they were.
How long? 2024.
2024. It's going to have some help paying off those bonds per agreement with the DOT. So if you could understand all that, that's it. So we got a new population standard, a piece that will make the cities whole for 2012 and 2013 and 2014. It sunsets for the cities in 2014, and then the last part is a bond agreement they reach with the DOT to help them continue paying off those bonds. That's all I have.
Senator Rust?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, Senator Chamberlain, as I recall, we had quite a discussion about this bill when it was first presented, and it seems to me that you've done a lot of good work on it and made sure that it's not, you know, state aid in perpetuity.
Yes.
And et cetera. And, Mr. Chairman, and unless the Department of Transportation has any objection to it, I think we had a full hearing, and if it doesn't, I would move that Senate File 1661 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to wherever you want to send it. I don't know that we need, and in support of that motion, I don't know that we need any more testimony. I think we had a lot of it before.
Well, Senator Chamberlain, you've got a couple of testifiers. Why don't we hear briefly from them concerning this bill? Appreciate you coming in.
Yep. I'm Jim Kineth, the city administrator for the city of Circle Pines. We appreciate the two pieces. First of all, the 2010 census was fairly unusual because the number of vacant houses was about triple compared to other census for the city. So that's why we dropped the 80 below the 5,000 number. The transition is very helpful. Speaking more to the bond issue, it unfortunately only impacts, or fortunately impacts, only Circle Pines. We're the only one in the situation that had sold bonds and then fallen below 5,000 after that. We relied on that. If you know anything about the issuance of bonds, investors expect that there isn't an annual decision on whether they're going to get paid. So it's important for them. And as it has been said, we've relied on that. We think that the subdivision 4 of 16218 does provide for their ongoing payment. The issue is because we've fallen below 5,000, the State Department of Transportation, who runs the program, doesn't believe that's true, and the bill is designed to clarify that. I'll leave it at that and answer any questions if there are any.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rust?
Again, is there any comment from MnDOT about the delete all?
Or see, MnDOT is here. Would they like to testify? Mr. Jonas? You'd like to testify to the bill? And just so you know, Senator Rest, I think we'll lay this bill over. I think what we will do is lay this bill over for our Omnibus 2 policy bill. So
I didn't realize it was not going separately.
Mr. Jonas, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Committee. My name is Rick Jonas. I'm Deputy State Aid Engineer with MnDOT, and our office administers the state aid funds that this bill refers to a definition of state aid city. There had been 147, now there's 142 because of the recent census here, and I would agree with the comments that a lot of good work has been done on this bill, and this is something that we could administer, tells us in advance what's going to happen after the next census. I do, though, want you to be aware of some difficulty we have with the section on bonding. We're a pass-through agency, and the monies that we received were required by law to distribute them among all of the cities that would receive a distribution. So in particular for this year, where Circle Pines did not receive any distribution, and we've already passed all the money through. We have no account, no available source of monies. We would have no way to make a bond payment for Circle Pines this year or in 2015 after they would cease to be a state aid city under this definition unless the population happens to return back over 5,000, which I think the administrator is hopeful that that's going to be what happens. So that's a difficulty for us, and I have researched that with our MnDOT counsel and with the Attorney General's office that We don't pay the bond payments for the many cities that have the bonds now, but we are required by law that we receive a copy of their amortization table so that we know what their payments are going to be, and the law says that they can't bond more than they're going to be receiving or forecasted to receive. They got to stay 90% of that. So we put money into an escrow account, and then when their bond payments are about due, we send money to the city that they can then forward on to the bonding company. We don't police it to see that they do that, but we do take that extra step of giving them their allowance just in time. That's what the law requires us to do. But we would have no way, we've never made bond payments for any city, and we'd have no way to make a payment to the city for the bond payments in 2012 because we have no money available.
Send it to rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the, is it Kineth?
Kineth, thank
Kineth.
You.
Does the city of Circle Pines have the funds to make the bond payment for this year without money That's coming from?
We would use reserve funds.
And so the caution, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Kineth, the caution coming from DOT has already been anticipated and on the bonding thing, and you don't have any problem with it this year or with perhaps 2015 when you go off that?
Well,
you don't know about 2015. It's
right.
Too far out.
I have to assume that we won't be over 5,000 in population, and we're hoping that the bill as drafted would take us forward in time and that allocation would be made for the life of the bonds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems
Senator
like
Rust.
This year they're okay from their own reserve funds. So it's after the provisions in this bill that there might be some difficulty for them. I don't know how you solve that.
Senator Chamberlain, were you aware of this this issue?
Senator Eichenberg.
Yeah. Mr. Robb can address this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Mark Ruff with Ehlers. We're the financial advisors for the city. We have had previous discussions with Mr. Jonas and members of MnDOT on this topic. In terms of the issue, I think, in front of us is just the bond payments, which are substantially less than the total state aid payments. But the bond payments themselves, because they go out to 2024 and because of the bond attorneys and our interpretation of what the statute said previous to this amendment, was we thought that MnDOT was bound to make payments to the city throughout the term of the bonds. MnDOT does not agree with that interpretation, so this amendment was intended to recognize that this was a special circumstance, no other communities in this circumstance, and that payments would be made to the city, and the city then in turn would make payments. These are general obligation bonds of the city. The city is ultimately the one responsible for these payments, so we would not expect MnDOT to make any payments directly to bondholders. We would just simply ask that they recognize what the initial contract was between the city and MnDOT, which was to make at least the bond payments for the term of the bonds.
So Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rust.
So now it would be an obligation of MnDOT to send some money to this the city that otherwise wouldn't be eligible for it through 2024?
In the amount equal to bonds that were issued previous to end to the adoption of this legislation is the way I understand the
and
bill.
Mr.
To read.
Chairman, is that setting a press? I mean, that's one of the things we had, the problems we had with this before. Is that setting a precedent for other communities coming in and asking for another 10 years of money that otherwise would go to other cities who do meet the population cutoff?
Mr. Chair, the language specifically says that it's only for obligations issued before the effective date of this particular bill, and so it precludes anyone from in the future issuing bonds who may drop below 5,000.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
and
Rust.
Sir, when I say a precedent setting, I'm saying another community coming in and asking for a special law and said, well, you did it for Circle Pines, how come you won't do it for us? And I I appreciate all the work that's done here, but that it has that happened before when a city went below the population line, had outstanding bonds, let's say in the last census? Did MnDOT continue to make their make payments to the city so that they could make a payment to the bondholders? Ms. Berezovsky?
Ms. Berezovsky?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, I was just checking with Mr. Jonas, and I believe the answer is no, that has not happened before.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as we go forward Senator with this Rest. Bill, I think we have to have our eyes completely wide open of what we might be inviting other cities to approach us with in terms of a problem. And maybe we should do this, but we shouldn't think that other cities that may be in a similar circumstance are not going to be looking at the action we take with regard to this bill.
And Senator Rest, I agree. And I would like to, Senator Chamberlain, I wouldn't be comfortable seeing this bill leave without some resolution to this and a comfort level on the part of myself and the committee. And would you it'd be all right to lay this over until we can get this worked out? I know Circle Pines isn't the only city that's in this situation, and I'm just like Senator Rest says resistant to setting a precedent that could come back to
Mr. Chair and members, Senator Rest, I think that would be we'd be very grateful and if we did that, if you did that.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm all for helping them. Yep. You know,
certainly, yeah.
But we just have to have our eyes wide open. Right.
Thank you, Senator Rest. And Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just want to say. Oh,
excuse
you. Electrifying.
Electrical comments here I'm going to make. Yeah, you know, what I get concerned about is cities, you know, that are right at that threshold kind of rushing in, you know, obligating, you know, it feels like we might, you know, incent cities to create all kinds of bond obligations really fast, and then they've got to kind of help, you know, have the city or have the state help satisfy then those bonds until they're defeated. So a little concerned about what kind of behavior we might be incenting. I understand the circumstance that we've thrown the city into. I want to address that, but support Senator Rest's effort to find a more precise way to address it.
We don't want cities who suspect that they may be coming under the population to go, all of a sudden go out and buy, leverage a lot of bonds and expect to have us continue to pay this. So, Senator Chamberlain, we're going to lay your bill on the table, and we will promise you a hearing as soon as we have a resolution to this.
I'll be in touch. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chairman, to that end, I withdraw my motion, too. Okay.
Senator Rest withdraws her motion. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Thank you for listening to Senate File 2202 today. What I thought I would do is ask my testifier, Gary Hoonsbeen, to come and join me at the table and talk a little bit about why this bill is necessary, what its intent is, and then if needed, I'll be glad to walk you through the bill. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chair. I do have the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that has been agreed to by all parties, I believe. Yep. If I could have
Senator
someone
Howell
offer that.
Moves the A2 amendment?
A1.
A1 amendment. Excuse me. Senator Howell moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Right. You have the bill in the form that you would like it.
Yes,
Senator
Mr. Chair.
Nelson. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Hoonsbeen.
Yes.
If you'd please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Gary Hoonsbeen from Crystal.
and I retired, and I'm an antique car restorer as a hobby.
We'd like to talk about why this bill is necessary and what the intent is.
Many of us in the state of Minnesota have antique cars as our hobby, and part of that hobby is dragging old cars out of barns and garages and bringing them back to life in a process we call restoration. Many of these cars are pre-1919, so they're nearly 100 years old in some cases. And without a doubt, most of them are sold or we purchase without titles because the titles have either long been lost or were never issued to begin with on these cars. We like to pull them out of a barn. We take them apart. We restore them back to their original condition. A couple of years ago, a good friend, Alan Page, the Supreme Court person, received a car from his father-in-law and attempted to get a title for it. And the process took almost 3 years, and there was some questions about the car as to whether it was authentic, whether it was the right year, whether it had the right body, and so forth. And when Justice Page told me about this, I thought maybe we should look the law over and see what could be done to simplify it, not only for the car collectors, but also for the State Department that issues titles. And our goal was that when a title's issued, it is titled with the name of the manufacturer of the car, whether it be Oldsmobile, Buick, Wint, and so forth. It retains the manufacturer's original identification number, or the VIN as you call it today, but it's a number that appears on almost every car we find. We want to recognize the vehicle's year of manufacture, whether it's 1900, 1910, 1920. We want that year to be on the title as part of its history. And we also want the vehicle's model number on the title as it should be. It's a Model X, it's a Model T, it's a Model A, so forth. And we want Minnesota titles to be issued for Pioneer plates, and the title would be granted Pioneer plates as well as having the title. And I think what we've worked over now is a process where we can help the state, the people who are involved with clearing these titles, new titles, and give them some assistance by having people who are authorities in these different old cars either testify or write letters on behalf of the owner, or help them locate information which will identify these cars as to its proper year, model, and serial number. I have no other statements unless there's some questions on this.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman. The titles would be issued by who now?
I'll let my witness answer, but I believe it's the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yes.
Mr. Hoonsby?
Mm-hmm. And maybe I can just maybe if I
is
walk
it any
through
different,
the bill.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, is it any different other than the special conditions of titling and issuing of the special plates than any other issuing of special plates?
I do not
Senator
believe
Carlson.
So. It's thank you, Mr. Chair.
Nelson, excuse me.
Matt, it'd be for vehicles manufactured before 1919. So that's kind of it's a date issue here. Those older vehicles don't have titles, mm-hmm. and so we want to allow when they get titles that they're listed as 1919.
Or listed the year of their manufacture. Might I add that Minnesota has a very clear procedure for obtaining titles on untitled cars. You have to take four pictures of it from the four corners. You have to submit a statement of fact, which says where I got the car and what I perhaps have done to it up to that point. You have to post a bond for 1.5 times its value to protect the state. And that information goes in, and hopefully within a month or two you can receive a title on an untitled car.
Mr. Chairman. I see Ms. McCormick is in the in the audience, anything that the department would like to add to this?
Hi. My name is Vicki Albu. I'm with the Driver and Vehicle Services Division of the Department of Public Safety, and I work for Pat McCormick.
you've been obviously have been involved in this process of formulating this bill, and anything you'd like to add or clarify?
Yes, Senator Gimsey and members of the committee, basically what this does is it allows an owner of a vehicle that's manufactured before 1919 to restore the vehicle and perhaps replace the number, which the engine or another body, another component, which may have a different number, and they'll still be able to call the vehicle the original model year, even though some of the components might not be exactly that same year, and the title would not be branded. So that's basically what it's allowing. And the department has met with Mr. Hoonsbeen and worked out some details and agreed to have regular meetings over the coming years so that we can see what other, if there are other problems that we might be able to work out differently.
Okay. Thank you for that. Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to thank you for bringing this bill forward. I've built cars and motorcycles and stuff too, and run into the title problem every now and then. And this is, wouldn't fix any of the issues that I've run into, but I do know how onerous it can be at times. And as long as you've worked with the Department of Public Safety and made sure that this is an appropriate streamlining of the process by which this occurs, I think it's great, and applaud your efforts.
Thank you. It's nothing more disconcerting than to work on restore a beautiful car. It's 100 years old and get a title that says reconditioned car 2012 and have a serial number issued to it by the state of Minnesota, which is put on a piece of paper stuck to the gas tank. The serial numbers of these cars are very important to the history of the car. So thank you.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that Senate File 2202, as amended, be recommended to pass. And there's no fiscal note.
No.
So it would be.
There is a fiscal note, but there's zeros on it.
A Senator zero. Rest. And be placed on general orders.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2202 be recommended to pass as amended and sent to the Senate floor. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Thank you, Senator. We have time.
One more.
We have time for one more. Senator Rest.
Testimony and come on.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well done. You're wonderful.
I need to move. Thank you.
Senator Dibble, you. We'll hold our bills till next week. Is that okay with you?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I spoke with the committee administrator prior, and I warned our staff was on hand that that might happen.
All my old cars.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I bring you Senate File 1730. This is part of a bill that's now being presented separately that was part of a department initiative last year, and it now only deals with a single subject with regard to accident reports from the Commissioner of Public Safety to the Commissioner of Transportation when there is damage to a state owned asset, and the issue dealt with debt collection. And I do have a delete everything amendment that is an author's amendment that I would move at this time.
And get that passed out. Senator Rest moves the.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I have a slight addition to this, if I could do that at this time.
Certainly.
Just two words.
Why don't we go ahead and move the A1 delete everything amendment, and then if you have a verbal amendment to that, then do we process that afterwards, or
I'd like to include it.
I see. Okay.
And it would be at line 124. I don't know how you do this, Ms. Berezovsky, but before the first the. To insert upon request. So upon request, the Commissioner of Public Safety shall provide the Commissioner of Transportation, and that addition comes at the suggestion of The Department of Public Safety and the Department of Transportation has no objections.
Okay, Senator Rest moves the A1 delete everything amended with the verbal amendment incorporated. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, I explained the bill, and Mr. Rudine is here to answer any further questions that the committee might have. And I'm assuming this would be a provision that would be laid over for possible inclusion in your omnibus bill.
That's correct, Senator Rest. That's what our intention is. And any questions? Senator Reiner?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Don't we do this already? I mean, I know that if you have an accident and it involves, and I don't know this because of personal experience, but I know that if you have an accident and it involves some state infrastructure, you bought it. There's a street light in Duluth that I was happy to donate.
Mr. Chairman Senator Reinert, it all depends on to whom the report of the accident in the past has been made, and sometimes those reports did not get back, depending upon whom, to what agency the report was made initially. And so this just clarifies it that the Department of Public Safety can get that information. Mr. Rudine, if you want to add
anything. Mr. Chair, for the record, Eric Rudine from MnDOT Government Affairs, the issue has become that a person is entitled to a copy of the accident report. However, Department of Public Safety's interpretation is that MnDOT is not a person under the meaning of the law, and so that's
so
the issue.
So they weren't getting it.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
This is good stuff here. We need to get that information to MnDOT so that we can be reimbursed by these insurance companies for the damages and ensure that moves seamlessly as possible. So, Senator Rest, we will lay over. Or any further discussion? Seeing none, we will lay Senate File 1730 over for inclusion in Omnibus 2. There being no further business before the committee. There being no further business before the committee. I was getting cued, Senator Dimmel. Do you want to try one more? We're on such a roll here. I just... And yours is up next. So let's adjourn for today. We will take up again the Omnibus 2 bill next week for discussion, and then on Thursday for amendments to that. So, but we will get these bills heard prior to that happening so that they can be included in that bill. So with that, the hearing is adjourned.